The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 8th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Congress continues to negotiate infrastructure and social safety net bills. Advocates for environmental justice say measures like lead pipe replacement cannot wait.
Drinking water systems for more than 9 million homes across the country contain lead pipes, with Black, brown, and low-income communities disproportionately affected. Mustafa Santiago Ali, who works on environmental and climate justice issues for the National Wildlife Federation, says removing lead pipes will benefit children's health and educational outcomes, since exposure to lead is linked to kids' difficulties learning and reading.
It then also helps to raise values inside of communities, property values, because we know there's a huge wealth gap that exists between Black and brown communities and white communities. So there's so many different positives that can happen.
Last month, environmental groups filed an emergency petition with the EPA to get a free and safe drinking water supply to Benton Harbor, a majority Black community in southwestern Michigan. The city has reported extremely high lead levels in the local water for 3 years. I'm Lily Volke reporting.
More than 60% of Americans in recent polls say they support the $1 trillion legislation that's now in Congress to improve roads, bridges, broadband, and other infrastructure that includes funding for lead pipe replacement. And big news from Congress, the Senate Thursday approved a deal to increase a debt ceiling and keep the country solvent into December, moving to stave off a default that could have happened within days. That report from the Hill. Senators voted 50-48 along party lines on the short-term increase in the nation's borrowing limit. GOP Senators Richard Burr and Marsha Blackburn did not vote. Governor Roy Cooper said this week that North Carolina lawmakers are on the cusp of passing legislation that he believes will put the state on track to tackle the climate crisis.
The governor spoke at a virtual gathering of Democratic governors hosted by the Center for Innovative Policy. Cooper said he's reached a deal with Republican lawmakers over House Bill 951, which would mandate the shutdown of coal-fired power plants and take other steps to help the state achieve a 70% reduction in carbon emissions by the year 2030.
I think long-term, however, fighting climate change and making sure that North Carolina does its part on reduction of carbon emissions is critical.
Critics of the legislation argue it doesn't go far enough in addressing the climate crisis. They claim it would significantly hike electric bills for residential taxpayers, by some estimates up to 50% over the next 3 years. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
This is PNS. Now to Pennsylvania, where parks and outdoor recreational spaces become havens for many in the state looking for safe activities during the pandemic. Emily Scott tells us a new report from the Penn State professors aims to understand residents' relationships with parks and lay the groundwork for making parks and recreation services more inclusive and equitable.
The report surveyed 600 state residents from across the state in rural, suburban, and urban areas about diversity, equity, and inclusion in parks, as well as the impact of COVID-19 on these spaces. Although most respondents said they felt a sense of belonging in their community parks, people of color reported feeling less comfortable and less represented in parks than their white counterparts. Co-author Sammy Powers says these answers can help build the foundation for creating more inclusivity in parks.
I think we saw a lot more of a national awareness of the need to address some of these issues of systemic inequalities. And I think we saw that translate kind of into the park and recreation world with a lot of folks asking these questions. How do folks feel in our park spaces? You know, do they feel welcome in our parks and trails and facilities?
Pennsylvania Recreation and Park Society commissioned the report.
Older Americans may find themselves being bombarded these days with reminders about Medicare enrollment. While it's attempting to block out some of the messaging, North Dakota officials say there's important information that could save money on prescription drug costs.
Carrie Morris, Medicare manager for the North Dakota Insurance Department, says there aren't a lot of significant changes to the process this year, but enrollees should still see if there's a better drug plan they could switch to.
If they have medications that they are taking, they will want to review and compare the overall cost of the prescription plan rather than just looking at the premium cost.
She says too often people focus on the premium costs and overlook big changes in out-of-pocket expenses for their medications. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Eric Tegetthoff reports as the Washington State Redistricting Commission considers drawing new lines for voting districts, a coalition of groups is urging greater representation for people of color.
Kamal Shege is head of the Washington Community Alliance, which is part of the coalition Redistricting Justice for Washington. Shege notes people of color make up about one-third of the state's population. However, as the maps are currently drawn, they're the majority in only one of the state's 10 congressional districts, and only 2% of state legislative districts.
They really amplify the power of the white electorate much more than what is proportional to their population, and they really disempower voters of color and communities of color.
The Washington State Redistricting Commission held a public meeting this week with four proposed maps for state legislative districts.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on radio stations big and small. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.